In the name of Jesus. Young pastor Timothy had been given at least two precious gifts. One was faith put into him through his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. The other was the gift which was given him at his ordination. Maybe he was a mother's boy, maybe he was a grandmother's boy. What a pleasure for every Christian mother to have such a boy who is so eager to learn from her the scriptures. Timothy was given a solid food as he grew up. Paul reminds Timothy of all that God has blessed him with through such a mother and a grandmother. Then Timothy is recalled to what was given to him at his ordination, the gift of God given through the laying on of my hands, 2 Timothy 1:6. Paul wants Timothy to be continually strengthened by the grace of God. Writing from Rome, Paul says to Timothy, "Come as soon as you can, but do not leave your place vacant when you leave and come to Rome. What you have heard from me before many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You can't leave them without a pastor when you come to Rome." Paul says, entrust to faithful men who will come, who will be able to teach others also. Apt to teach. Teaching is included in the Lord's mandate and institution of the office of the Holy Ministry at the conclusions of the Matthew's Gospel, make disciples, baptizing, teaching. The word teachers is used by Paul interchangeably with the word pastors in Ephesians 4:11, another traditional passage for holy ordination. The Latin version of the Augsburg Confession, Article 5, picks up this language of teaching when it confesses, "So that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted." So teach others in our context does not indicate that Timothy should become a high school teacher, but it talks about the distribution of Jesus to be at the delivery point of the forgiveness of sins, which Jesus won for all on the cross. Martin Chemnitz in his Loci Theologici reflects such teaching in this way. The second matter which the ministry must look out for in the church is the teaching. For the call to the ministry is not directed to the end that lazy bellies they may enjoy the dignities of the office or in their sloth sit on the ecclesiastical emoluments as happened under the papacy. Chemnitz then instructs from the scripture concerning the teaching work of the minister in 6 points. First, the minister of the word correctly understands the fundamental points of the sound doctrine. Second, the minister is to proclaim the whole counsel of God, hiding nothing, as preaching of selected doctrine according to the preference of the whim of the day. Third, the minister of the word must be strong and faithful in the word, that he may convince those who contradict him. Here Chemnitz also introduces the two primary duties of a pastor according to Luther: instruction and defending or warning, lehren und wehren. Fourth, he is to set forth and apply from the word of God those things which edify the hearers. Fifth, he is required to be an example of the flock. And finally, sixth, he is a man of serious prayers. Does the church still need such pastors as teachers of the gospel? Will she not survive without them? Why did Paul not suggest Timothy to leave everything in the church up to all believers and to their best possible judgments? Certainly, these are not far from what many people are asking even today. For a certain purpose, I was shopping around in our library last week to get to know some of the latest discussion on the church. From a straightforward Fullerian, A Church for the 21st Century by Leith Anderson, in which he advocates a universal formula, D plus R multiplied by HW plus PG equal the changed church. The right diagnosis, D, plus correct prescription, R, multiplied by our hard work, HW, plus the power of God, PG, would guarantee a changed church. Or where the nations meet the church in a multicultural world, may be suitable for me, by a Methodist pastor, Stephen A. Rhodes, or even to the McDonaldization of the church, Consumer Culture and the Church's Future, by John Drain of the University of Aberdeen. These were fun reading, to be sure. Some thought-provoking cultural diagnosis too. But amazingly, in almost all such literatures, practical suggestions are basically the same. In order to be successful and effective, the church needs to have variety of worship styles, and she is to avoid any prepackaged theology which takes away the liveliness and creativity of the gospel. A sociological diagnosis can bring us only to sociological solutions. They are utterly unable to recognize the reality that a crucified Savior is active in the church through his means of grace. Accordingly, to them, to teach a prepackaged gospel is too old for this generation. Ordained ministers as teachers are optional at best. On the other hand, we face a challenge from still another angle. There are still those who are convinced that the words of forgiveness are effective only when a pastor pronounces them. Last week we commemorated the day of the evangelist Luke. We were prompted to picture Jesus as the true physician of the soul and body. We thought of a pastor also as a physician. But the big difference between the physician and a pastor as a physician of the souls is that while a physician remains healthy in treating the sick, a pastor in teaching the gospel does not remain sinless, or at least less sinful than the hearers. The teachers of the church and the hearers of the church are equally sinful, in constant need of the Savior. Simul justus et peccator, righteous and sinner at the same time. Dr. Luther also taught while there is no sinner so great as a Christian church, he still affirmed that the Christian church is holy, but he also said there is no sinner so great as a Christian church. Simul applies both to individual Christians and also to the church. When the doctrine of the church and the doctrine of the holy ministry pit them against each other, the things fall apart, and people would ask, who is the boss? Such is the way in the kingdom of the left hand. Ways of the kingdom of the left hand imported into the kingdom of the right hand work destructively, even though they may appear very successful by the criteria of the kingdom of the left hand. This is what Paul in our text warns us as he writes to Timothy, "You share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Now, a soldier is not much of a soldier if he is not prepared to get killed. Christ's soldier's service is to Christ. Christ is the point number one, not us or how we want his church to be the ideal church. Moreover, his victories come not the kingdom of the left-hand way, but the Calvary way. Christ's service may bring death, suffering certainly. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Many of you have been gifted with solid stuff early on in home, church, and school. Then there is the Lord's gift to you when he ordains you by his use of some Timothy or Titus. You are to learn Jesus Christ ever more deeply here at the seminary. A pastor is good for nothing but the delivery of the forgiveness of sins. Attention is not directed to him, but to what he is there for, as servant and instrument of the gospel and the sacraments. And it is the Lord who does the verbs. Theodore Clifford observed that the church would be corrupt at no other places than the distribution point of the means of grace, Rome and the Reformed alike. We may add to say that such could happen with us Lutherans too. One day, many of you will be put into the office of the Holy Ministry for teaching the gospel and defending the same. Such knowledge is a supreme joy of a mother Eunice and a grandmother Lois. It will be the highest delight of the entire seminary community and those who have been prayerfully supporting this seminary with their precious gifts. To ask whether we still need a pastor or pastors is a wrong question. The Lord has answered such a question long time ago. It is Jesus himself who arranged that the forgiveness of sins may be going on. The predicted amount is the Lord's gift to the church. The church receives it with Amen. And she continually prays him to send faithful pastors who preserve and teach the gospel and the sacrament. In the name of Jesus.